Welcome to Nerdificent with Danny and Iffy. I'm Iffy Whiteyway. Danny is sitting this one out. She's had quite an eventful weekend, you know, doing the press junket for Wreck-It Ralph and, you know, hanging out with all those celebs and all buddy-buddy, you know. Didn't get me a ticket, but it's all good. It's all good. I couldn't make it because I had BlizzCon. But, you know, I'm sure if I didn't have BlizzCon, she would have me up in there or something like that. But in her stead, we have two people who were able to experience the con with me, and we'll be talking about it, chatting, and breaking it down. And that is Malika Lim and Naeem Stewart. Hello, how are y'all doing?
Hello, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. So we had one person who had a job offer from Blizzard.
No,
and
that's not true.
Wait, not a job offer, but you got pretty close to the light there. You had an interview, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. I'm Malika Lim. Again, I'm a game designer, game developer, occasional community manager, and marketer for games. I also like to play games, surprise, surprise. And a while back, I did try to get an internship at Blizzard on the quest writing team.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed. I'm always like nervous to talk about my relationships with other companies.
Okay, well, we'll just stop there then and keep it safe.
But
I feel like that much is cool.
You know what? I'm still interested in collaborating with Blizzard. I'm going to put that out there.
If y'all tuned in. And we have Naeem Stewart, artist extraordinaire. He's a pro stippling. That's pretty much what he primarily does. He only does stippling.
I haven't done stippling in a year. Do you know what stippling is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the dots.
Yeah. Pretty much you draw.
Yeah. Explain it for the listeners.
So pretty much you use ink dots, whether it be black or colored, and you will just create an image just using dots. That's what I did. I mean, I still do it. I haven't done it actually in a couple of months. Probably to a year now. I've been focusing more on digital, drawing digitally. But yeah, I just do all types of stuff. But that was one of the things that Iffy remembered me doing when he first met me. So
yeah, because you did like this huge piece for TwitchCon, right? The TwitchCon art show. And it was like this huge dwarf and it was amazing. We're going to add it in the footnotes if you're listening and curious what that looks like.
Yeah.
But it's a real cool piece. And it was like I knew of stippling. Like, you've definitely kind of seen that art before, but I've never watched someone do it. And Naeem used to stream himself literally just making dots on Twitch.
Yeah, I would stream at late at night. Start at like around 8, 9 o'clock Pacific time and just do that till 5, 6 in the morning, go to sleep and go to work.
Man.
Yeah. I would probably sleep like 3 hours and go straight to work usually, so.
So when you're stippling, how do you know you're making what you want to make? Like, how do you plan it out some way?
When I did it, I pretty much had a simple image just sketched out. And then when I start stippling, I just let it go. Just run it free. And then whatever comes with it, I make it happen.
Nice.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, cool. I mean, more on that, you could probably go to his VODs, I'm sure, if you wanted to see that in action. But we're talking about BlizzCon, and BlizzCon was super fun. It was both of your first times at BlizzCon?
First time.
Yeah,
oh,
first time.
Wow. This was my second, so it's not like I'm like the super vet. But BlizzCon it's a great experience, I think. When you have such a focused cons, like we talked in the Comic-Con episode of how, like, you know, when you go to a Comic-Con or an anime con, it's so many different properties come together that, you know, you get what you like, everyone gets what they like, but sometimes you don't get enough. And when you have something so targeted like BlizzCon, where it's just all Blizzard everything, it was so cool. They had like a whole large live Dark Moon fair. They had multiple esports. Yeah, they had that. You missed that. They had a full size Dark Moon fair. It spanned like multiple buildings. It honestly felt that this year it was almost a little too big for the Anaheim Convention Center. And y'all might have to move it to LA Convention Center. You know, I'm just saying, Blizzard, you know, not only would that make that trip way easier, but you'll have a lot more space. It'll be a good time. I think it's time, Blizzard, come on down to L.A. Make our lives way easier. But, yeah, every year it starts off with the opening ceremony, and we get those sweet, sweet announcements. It's basically like the Apple kind of like keynote speech, but for Blizzard nerds. And it's super exciting. And they even have their own little versions of Wait, There's More. Mm-hmm. But let's kick it off with the Blizzard property most people are familiar with, which is World of Warcraft.
Yes.
They announced Tides of Vengeance, which is the war between, and you know, this little tizzy that they hooked me up with. They gave me the press, you know, info so I can just read it off. And the war between the Horde and the Alliance reaches a crucial turning point in Tides of Vengeance, the upcoming first major content update for Battle for Azeroth. That will bring new content, including the Battle of Dazar Allure Raid and Battle for Darkshore Warfront and more. And then they added a nice cinematic, which Naeem got to watch. I have sat there and watched him watch it. Malika and I got to watch it live.
I loved it.
It was amazing. And unfortunately, when Malik watched it, even when he watched the live stream, he didn't get the cheers. Uh-huh. But there's something about hearing the cheers at specific moments and just the energy that's in the room. But for those who, once again, this will be in the footnotes for you to watch later, but just a quick cliff notes. If you are unaware, at the top of Battle for Azeroth, in the general encounter in which you're joining with a whole bunch of new players, there's a battle in which you arrest Sourfang, and he's just in jail. So this picks up from there where mm-hmm. Alduin goes down to check, and he's kind of feeling weathered by the war, seeing so many people dying, which has been a good... it's so interesting with the World of Warcraft, because they are so good at like both like making a game that sits in a constant state of war, but still like have that kind of down to earth take of like, this is bad. We're losing people. We don't want this. Like, yeah, we're having fun out here questing, but there are, you know, problems that come with war.
Yes.
And so he goes down, consults with Sourfang. You find out that Sourfang is not happy with Sylvanas and where she's taking
rightly
the Horde.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people disagree.
Yeah, you know. Well, Sylvanas still got stands.
Yeah.
Wait. Naeem, are you Horde?
Okay, here's the thing.
Wow. Did not know this.
No, I didn't say I was. I like both sides. I have characters on both sides. Mm-hmm. I started on Alliance. But the character I'm playing now is Alliance. But I still have love for Horde. I just look at both sides and see what's going on to figure out the
Naeem
the...
over here with good people on both sides.
Yeah. So as a both sideser, how do you feel about this new expansion? Because it does kind of bring the both together, sort of.
Well, at first, I did not care for Alduin right at the beginning. I was all for King Varian, and when he, you know, died, got killed by Gul'dan, I had to, like, get in used to this new guy. And so far, he's pretty cool. I believe he's a paladin, right?
Yeah.
So,
or priest, I think.
I guess he's a paladin.
But... Yeah, he might be a paladin. Okay. I'm kind of going based off of his Hearthstone role.
Yeah. But so far, I haven't played much of the expansion because of work and other stuff. But so far, it's pretty good. Like, really good. I haven't played Legion was good, too, but... Anyway, it's pretty good. I want to explore more about Sourfang's mindset when it comes to what he perceives as what the Horde looks for in his eyes, as well as Sylvanas. She's pretty much. I know we have, like you said, stands for. Mm-hmm. Sylvanas, but what she's doing, in my opinion, is pretty effed up.
Yeah. I mean, she's basically committing genocide.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see if Sourfang could potentially be the new war chief eventually, especially since he, you know, if you played Wrath of the Lich King, you know, he lost his son at that time. And then, you know, I want to see what his mindset is. I just want to explore more of Sourfang because he's a really interesting character.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for that. And it's... It is so funny because I do feel like on the Horde side, their big angle is that there's so much turmoil in the leadership of the Horde, where Alliance, our thing has just been trying to, it does seem like Alliance are kind of being played as the good guys, where our biggest mission is whatever the expansion pack is about. And, you know, there's never our first change of power has been when King Varian Wrynn died, mm-hmm. which I skipped Warlords and Legion because I just got caught up in other games. So I came back for Battle for Azeroth, and I'm like, ooh, man, I'm excited to see my man Varian. You know, he's finally getting to fight the Horde. It's time to get spiced up. And then I come in, I'm like, where is he at? Why is Alduin running everything? And then someone had to go and tell me that he is dead. And I was like, wait, what? They straight killed my man's off behind my back. That's why you play through all expansions, y'all, so you don't come back when your fave is dead. Didn't even get to see him off. I have to go back and play it, but it's not even the same because I know that I'm already in the future of it.
You've seen the cutscene, though, right? The video of
him. No.
You're just trying to rub it in now.
Oh, I thought you watched it.
No,
you
I did not should. Watch it. I will play through that point and watch it when I get to that point, Naeem. I'm not there yet.
I'm sorry. I thought you actually watched it. That's how
Moving
somebody told you.
On. Sorry. We also had, you know, the confirmation of a release date of WoW Classic. It will launch in the summer of 2019 and will be included with your WoW subscription. BlizzCon attendees can demo it early, and it was on the show floor. Me and Naeem got to play it. It's WoW Classic. That's my take on that. That's it.
Well, what do you think of Classic?
So I've been playing WoW for a really long time. I'm on a day one server, mm-hmm. Manoroth, come find mm-hmm. me. But I started 6 years ago, and this is a 14-year-old game yep. now? So even I don't feel like OG.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to maybe have that opportunity to be like, what were you guys all freaking out about?
Yeah. I mean, it was look, I will say there was interest in being like, oh, what is this like version everyone's so hyped about? But I came in like Burning Crusade. But I came in the same sense. I don't know how familiar. I feel like everyone in this room will be gamers and understand. But everyone remembers like that period where there were tons of MMOs mm-hmm. and you would play an MMO, but you weren't playing an MMO. You were just kind of leveling a bit before you were like, all right, you know, like, and that's kind of how it was. That's how I did with BC. Then Wrath of the Lich King came, and I kind of finally had a guild, people to cheer me on, someone who knew what they were doing and something to build towards. And that's when it became like the best off tank Onara has ever seen. but even then, like, I remember I really liked Wrath because that's when I kind of got good at the game and understood
it. Was amazing.
And they just introduced the dungeon finder or the raid finder, mm-hmm. and I was real excited about that because if you were unfamiliar, the way you had to find raids were speaking in all chats in the middle of the town, and people would run these weird quizzes from you and expect you to know the raid, even if you're mm-hmm. like, hey, it's my first run. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't get a first run. Mm-hmm. You got to know the raid. And then if it is someone who's like, I'm gonna let you run through, it's like, well, did you watch all the videos? And you're like, yeah, I did, but it's still not the same as actually playing the game. So there was just a lot of gatekeeping, and it made for the end game being very slow and stilted if you didn't have a guild. And Raid Finder kind of got rid of all that, and people were mad about it. And I think the thing people are mad about is that they don't get to be elitist. That is my true heart of hearts feel on people's anger towards like a lot of the improvements, because a lot of the quality of life improvements helped with a lot of these things that I felt were wrong on a social level in WoW, which is like people gatekeeping and being able to be elitist within the game. And when there was a way to skip them and they can't, you know, have this kind of hold over you, now all of a sudden the game's bad. But to stay on the task for WoW Classic, I turned it on. Me and Naeem played. I got a quest. I hit map to see where the quest was. It wasn't there. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not going to be playing this.
Yeah, I played WoW from the get-go right when it launched. I got it for right around Christmas 2005 or something like that. And that was pretty much, I played an MMO beforehand before WoW. It was Dark Ages for Nexon made it or whatever. But World of Warcraft was my first full MMO experience. And comparing WoW to now compared to where it was, it's such a night and day thing. Because, like Iffy said, when you look at your map, if you get a quest, usually now you can see where you need to go. It's so easy. Before, you had to literally read the quest and figure out where such as such. If you had to kill like 10 yeah. bandits, you mm-hmm. had to like read it where it's at. It's a mine southwest of the location right now. You have to go there, find it, and then kill slowly 10 or so amounts of whatever to complete the quest, then come back to return it. You couldn't complete the quest right then and there. You have to come back to the quest giver at the hill, for example, 10 minutes away, get another quest, go back out. It was such slow, grindy experience, but because I was so young personally and I was just having fun and just enamored by the world that I was seeing, I was like, okay, whatever, it's cool, this is cool. I think personally there'll be such a wake-up call once this comes out. Granted, I'm gonna play it. I wanna play it, sure. I'm gonna play it. But I think once people get over the nostalgia feeling of playing WoW vanilla, they'll be like, oh, I don't know if this was as fun as I remember.
Well, I think, because this will answer the question of, did people want a vanilla WoW experience or did people want a free WoW experience? Because that's what it's going to answer. Because remember, that was the main thing that where Blizzard was shutting down these services. All these servers were free.
Yeah.
So we were getting the WoW, the same game that other people are paying a subscription fee for, you were getting it for free. Mm. And you were saying the reason you wanted it is because it was vanilla and WoW didn't offer that. So now that WoW is offering that, it's going to be interesting. It's like, so now do you want it or did you want a free WoW?
Well, there was things I can say during WoW, the classic era, that were just amazing times. Like if you got a raid of 40 people together,
that was incredible.
You managed to defeat, say, Ragnaros in Mooncore. That feeling of just seeing 40 individual people just cheer on in Ventrilo is before Discord.
Yeah, we're on Discord now, but
Ventrilo's an app. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Of course, everyone knows
you
what
to,
it is.
But. You have to pay for
a
server.
I called it Vent.
Vent. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Vent or TeamSpeak.
I was more of a TeamSpeak guy. I didn't play. I was on TeamSpeak. But, yeah, Counter-Strike was all about TeamSpeak.
Yeah, yeah.
Ventrilo was for the MMO nerds.
Yeah.
And vice versa for some people.
But just having that moment of hearing just 40 people and then people waiting outside in the raid and just hearing that you defeated the Ragnaros and it's your first guild raid boss kill is amazing. And I know people want to have that feeling again, that nostalgia feeling, but at the same time, it was hard to get 40 people together and be on the same page to actually strategize to beat a boss. And Molten Core and Blackwing Lair and Naxxramas was so hard to deal with, but that's just one of the things that was both pros and cons when dealing with a WoW classic back then compared to now.
Mm. So. Well, that was so, love it or not, it's going to be there. And if you're already subbed to WoW, no extra price to you. So I think that's a win-win either way. And, last but not least, they announced the kind of charity gift. Every year they do a charity gift where if you buy it, the proceeds go towards charity. And this year it's going to benefit Code.org, which is a nonprofit dedicated to expanding computer science education to schools and increasing participation by women and minorities, which is cool. Like that not only is it a charity, but it's a charity that helps women and minorities. And, we definitely want more of that in STEM, tech, and in gaming. And, to see a company like Blizzard be proactive about that by, helping a charity like that. That's real cool to see. This year it's a cute little whomper. So you can adopt that. It's a whomper for people who don't play Blizzard game. It's basically Abominable Snowman. but look it up. It's cute. But we got to talk about the big old Overwatch announcement that came out. It was exciting. Everyone's super hyped about it. But we'll get into that right after these messages. And we're back, just like that, and we're going to jump in. We're going to speed it up. We got real nostalgic with WoW. I'm going to try and be on everyone's head. But Overwatch kicked off with a McCree animated short. which showed this character Ash, which was super exciting. Well, before that, we saw this apple pie that was so good that it made me go get an apple pie today. I was like, yeah, the apple pies are bomb. You're right, McCree. But the animated short, which will be in, once again, the footnotes.
Footnotes!
That's me cosplaying as Miles. if you don't listen to the Daily Zeitgeist, then you don't know what I just did. But it was cool because this was very much a, like, I don't want to say trolly because that seems like it's mean, but just definitely like exciting announcement because, you know, they talked about how almost every character in that cinematic would be fun as a playable character. And it's true. And then they went through, I thought they swerved us at the end by introducing that Echo character. But then he was like, Echo's not ready yet. And we're like, oh, damn. And they're like, but what if it's this guy? And everyone's like, oh, and he was like, but it's not. What if it's this guy? Oh, but it's not. What if it was Bob? And everyone's like, oh, but it's not. It's Ash, and we're like, yeah! And then they play Ash's kind of announcement, you know, video, and it's good. And then towards the end of it, Bob pops up, and we're like, oh! And I'm losing my mind because I thought it was a double character announcement. It was not. It's just our ultimate, which we'll get into that. Actually, yeah, this will be pretty long because all of us had a chance to play, and your boy got real sweaty. I got play of the game in the media room because I don't play. I don't play. I don't care if y'all trying to test out this new character. I'm in here trying to get wins. Me and the guy who decided to stop playing as Ash and play a healer just so we can win. I was like, this is the type of scum lord stuff that I'm into, taking the media chance to learn this new character and trying to win. But yeah, so we had Ash. She's a gunslinger. She's in the deadlock game. She has a I don't know, what would you call that, like,
awesome
that,
gun?
Yeah, like, but it's like, it is like a staple in Western.
Yeah, like, it's like a repeater,
basically. Yeah, like a repeat card, boom. Yeah,
yeah. So play Red Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a repeater rifle, which is so versatile and cool because you have without aiming down sights, is shooting pretty fast. Mm. And then when you aim down sights, it shoots slower, but it has like that sniper rifle damage. And it does seem like it gets that bonus damage with headshots. So it's or lever action. Yes, repeater or lever action for the cowboys in the room. But she is super fun. Her shift attack is a sawed off that knocks you both back, but if you shoot it in the ground, you can use it as a rocket jump. Mm-hmm. She has a dynamite, which does damage over time because it catches you on fire, which has a fuse, or you can shoot it so it can explode immediately. And her ultimate is Bob. He charges forward, slams down, and then starts to shoot automatically. And once I figured this out, that's how I ended up getting play of the game. We were playing on El Dorado. That was the map we were playing on. And that first little cave that you have at the beginning before the turn for the payload, we were all in there fighting. And I was like, oh, I think I just figured out that Bob is a charge. Like, it doesn't just appear. And when I did it, he pushed all of our enemies out of the cave, slammed down, and proceeded to kill everyone. So that's when I was like, oh, this will be fun to see the ways you can use it, because you're basically firing Bob forward in the charge motion, and it seems like it does get a little pushback, so you can have fun with that on the edge. Or if you're in Naeem, who smacked Bob off the, just basically auto-killed someone's ult, because it charged towards Naeem, and he smacked him right off of the level, and it was over. Yeah. Yeah, what do y'all think of Ash? Sorry, I was a mouthful.
Well, I mean, I loved, like, witnessing that reveal video with you, Iffy, because it was, oh, is it going to be her? Oh, is it going to be, you know, who? And I was like, Iffy, I hope it's Bob. And everybody's like, yeah, is it Bob? You know, and I'm really glad that he is added to this whole Overwatch world. I did not have an epic play with Bob. I was like, oh, it's all charged up now. And I wasn't even really looking where I was looking. And I, like, shot him into one of those, like, rooms where there's pickups, and he was just by himself, and I'm like, that was the most
you sent Bob on break. You're like, hey, go over there and take a breather. You know, everyone's using you to fight their weird battles. I'm just gonna let you relax.
I really liked the dynamite. The dynamite was the most fun for me because it gave you the option, because in such a fast-paced game, you're like, Well, it would be generally helpful if that dynamite blew up over there and then you can time that explosion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's really great. You can. It's so versatile in the ways you can use the dynamite. And then also, what both of you got to experience between me, there was one other thing Overwatch related that was at BlizzCon's. And I'm going to just read the press kit they sent. Lucio's is here. With the help of Kellogg's, the popular Lucio in-game spray has become a reality. The cereal will be available for purchase starting in late December at various retailers in the United States. Some lucky attendees at BlizzCon and those visiting Kellogg's NYC Cafe in Union Square this weekend will be some of the first to boost their breakfast with the Lucio Sonic Vanilla flavor. Who may have been one of those lucky people? Well, it was your boy. Your boy went and hounded, and I got to give shouts out to Blizzard because I felt like any other company would have been really annoyed at. I've checked back with them every hour on the hour, but they had it. They had it waiting for me when I went with Naeem to get the Lucios, and I've never been more happy. It's sitting in my house.
You didn't let go of the box.
No.
You put it in my bag.
No, I was like, no, it needs to be right here, safe with me.
Clutching it like a baby.
I know. Dude. That I wanted that so bad, and I got it. It's so beautiful. I am taking a keto break, and yeah, I could have opened it up to taste, and I was like, you know what? No, mostly because I said I was going to do something with it, and I think I will. My the voice of Lucio, Johnny Cruz, is my friend, my buddy, and I'm gonna get him to sign that box of cereal, and it will be put up as a giveaway during the extra live stream that I plan on doing this month. So, you know, someone else will get lucky, just like the Daft Punk song. And if, you know, it's November, so you'll still get it early before it drops in mid-December, it seems like. So, stay tuned. Show up on Twitch. You know all that stuff. We're doing it for the charities, so it's a good cause. Let's jump over to Heroes of the Storm. All my MOBA heads, where y'all at? Just me? All right.
No, I never
played that.
Excuse me.
Yeah, all right. So we got a new hero in Heroes of the Storm, which I pretty much expected, but what I did not expect was this is their first ever Nexus-born hero, which means it's not from a previous IP. If you're unaware of Heroes of the Storm, Heroes of the Storm basically, it takes heroes from other Blizzard properties and puts them in the game. So you have Warcraft heroes like
Malfurion.
We have Arthas, I think, right? Who?
Lich King.
Yeah. Arthas is in there. And then you have Diablo heroes like Leoric, the Crusader. I think is the Demon Hunter in it yet? No. Demon Hunter?
Celtazad is in it too.
And then you have Overwatch characters like Tracer, Genji, and
Reaper's not in it.
And then we StarCraft, Zeratul, you know, the Zergs, you know, a Raynor, you know, all those dudes. So it's very fun. So instead of pulling from that resource, they're like, we're creating a new hero called Orphea, which is the heir of the Raven Court and daughter of the nefarious Raven Lord, and it's pretty cool. I got to play her a bit. She's very fun. She's a kind of ranged hero. Her Q is kind of this range attack that pulls your enemy towards you or pulls her towards the enemy. Her W is a forward attack button, and her E is a it shoots a area of effect hit that can be used to slow, and her ultimate allows her to damage a whole area for a piece of time, and the other I forget. But that can be included in this package that we will also include in the footnotes. All the deets will be there. So anything I might have missed will be there. But yeah, it seems like she uses some kind of, like, he referred to it as dead magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like
some dark purple thing.
Basically looked like Venom the bad Tom Hardy version. it's really cool. She seems cool. She's carrying this, like, casket container on her back. Yeah. That's really cool. But
I really like her hair.
Yeah. And One other fun note is they announced, they kind of teased and announced that Leoric will be getting a janitor skin, which looks super fun.
That was really funny.
Yeah. And it seems like they're doing a whole school theme for their skins. So that's Heroes of the Storm for all my storm heads.
Hots.
Then we're going to talk about Diablo.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Because yeah, this was a moment. And I will talk about what's going on and I will talk about how I feel. So, we'll start with the good, which is they announced Diablo 3 the Eternal Collection now available on Switch, which I've been grinding for the past two nights. It's been super fun. If you've been grinding, we need to exchange stuff. I'm already level 70.
Oh, so
I guess they were 50 or something like that.
Yeah, I wasn't playing when I said I was grinding. I was grinding. I am like on the third, I'm getting the fourth season journey reward. I'm running rifts. I was grinding that ass off.
And I was here proud of myself from going level, 0 to 24 last night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was not playing. But I will power level anyone who wants it, though. So if you want to power level and get to this in-game content, hit your boy up. Yeah, no, I love Diablo is like that perfect game that's just there and you can always get back into it and have fun. Like, that's what I love about Diablo. I love just, and the season system is perfect for that. You can do the in-game stuff, pop off, and the community's there on Switch. Like, they have the quick match that lets you match with people. And, man, we were busting heads all day. So, definitely. And then they have the Switch Diablo 3 collection bundle, which comes with a special commemorative Switch. The dock has some art on it. The back of the actual console has some art on it. I would have liked a little art on the Joy-Cons just to carry, because that's what I'm going to see the most of. Mm-hmm. My dock is behind my TV, but that's a me thing. If your dock is like where it's visible, what most consoles usually are visible, then it probably looks cool. And it comes with a super dope bag. But we got to talk about the thing we were all groany about, which is Diablo Immortal. Blizzard introduced an authentic Diablo experience with Diablo Immortal, the mobile MMO action RPG, and the newest entry into the Diablo series. So just off-rip, just so you know, it takes place between Diablo 2 and 3, those stories in between, and, it is a mobile device. And people are saying that it feels like a reskin of the company who made it other game. I went to look at videos and it didn't look similar. Like it has the same top down Diablo series feel. The one that they're saying it's a reskin of is more of a kind of third person action. So I feel like the UI is similar, but there isn't much diversity in cell phone game UI. So that's a kind of already a weak argument to begin in my point of view. You have one side being the thumbstick and you have the other side being buttons that your finger press. So,
which is kind of pretty much in like PUBG is the same thing on phone.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty fun when I play. I still play it every now and again, but yeah, that's usually the control setup for most mobile games.
Yeah. So with that being said, I played it and I actually enjoyed it. Like, I will say, when I first heard the announcement, I was team, and it wasn't because I was feeling like it was a reskin or anything. I just, I just phone games seem like, especially if you have all these stories that you're trying to tell, it's like that could be a DLC for the Switch or that could be a DLC for the thing. But once I actually played it, it actually plays really well, and especially coming off of grinding Diablo and then coming to the cell phone version, it really did feel like they did a good job of transferring the feel to the cell phone version. I'm not, sucking up because I got a media, whatever. This is just how I feel. Some people may feel differently, but it seems like a few of the outlets that did get their hands on it feel the same way as I do, that it feels pretty good once you play it. Everyone I've talked to at the con, Naeem can be my witness, that when they played it, it felt good. Yeah. So I just, say if you're not into cell phone the games at all, then yeah, definitely don't like break your rule of not liking cell phone games to try it out. But if you do like cell phone games and you're afraid that it's just a reskin, I say give it a shot because it definitely didn't feel like a reskin. But full disclosure, I also didn't play the game that was reskin. I kind of just went through and watched videos and tried to compare to what I played. And just from the videos that I saw, it definitely didn't feel like a reskin.
Yeah. I didn't play it. I think you played it, right?
No.
Oh, are you? Okay. I know there's pros and cons with releasing it on mobile. I know people want it on a PC. Diablo is a deep game, and you know you need your keyboards or you know your configuration to do a lot of stuff. But not much information, to my knowledge, has been released for this thing yet. So people are already jumping to conclusions. I know we talked about this beforehand, and people are already jumping to conclusions about what's going to be the game. Is it going to be just a straight ripoff of the third party other game that allegedly that people are looking at that's comparing it to it? But there's, like I said, pros and cons to this. Putting it on a mobile market, which is pretty big still to this day, introduces a wider audience to Diablo, which eventually when Diablo 4 comes out, you'll be able to bring those people that you already got from them playing Immortal to the new Diablo 4 that's supposedly going to come out.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really what it is. I think the game is getting the brunt of people being mad that they have to wait for Diablo. I mean, technically, comparatively, we haven't waited the longest yet because Diablo 2 Lord of Darkness came out in 2001 and Diablo 3 came out in 2012. So we have yet to reach the 11-year wait that people who waited for 2 and 3 to hit yet. So I think trust the devs when they're like, hey, we're doing that. Because there was a video that came out that kind of made me roll my eyes where it was the Q&A portion of Diablo and someone was like, oh, is this an out-of-season April Fool's joke? And like, you know, it was like, yeah, it's cool, it's funny for the memes, but like at the end of the day, it's disrespectful. I was gonna add an extra syllable that wouldn't have made it to the cut. that type of stuff gets me riled up because when you know what goes into game design, when you know the work, like even though it's a game that you don't care about, even if it was a reskin of a game, that's still a lot of work that would have went in to put the Diablo assets into that game. And at the same time, I don't want to like negate anyone's feelings, but there is like a level of entitlement when you think you can walk up to someone who worked hard and is like genuinely excited to share something that they spent time created and kind of spit in their face like that and think that you're in the right. I mean, I think that's the source of a lot of things that are wrong today, that when you feel that you are in the right, you think it absolves you from any type of decency. And that's not the case. You still have to be a good human, even if you are mad. You have to be the bigger. On the way here, when I was parking, somebody came and they cut me off. And they were honking behind me the whole time and they cut me off. They kind of came around because I was making a left turn and she had her window down and she was yelling. And I was like, shut. Like there was a moment where I had to decide, do I just park or do I follow this person, make them mad? But besides the optics of this giant black guy following this angry white woman, but I was like, it's not that serious. Like that would still be a crappy thing to do, even though like I feel like I'm justified because she is targeting me. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to, is like, you know, it feels old now because of everything that has happened between this quote and when they go low, we go high. I think, you know, there's some times where we need to, you know, rethink that analogy. But I think in general in life, you definitely want to do that, especially over something that's supposed to be fun, like a video game. Definitely in a video game. You got to understand. And you also got to understand and appreciate people who will like that, because there are people who probably saw that and did get excited. And now you're kind of sending this energy of like, oh, no, you're dumb for liking this. But that's my mini Diablo rant. and we're going to do a complete 180 as we talk about Hearthstone right after these messages. All right, and we're back, and we're gonna close out StarCraft. I'm gonna just hit their announcements up, but no one in here is a StarCraft two-head, except for Dan. Poor Dan, he threw his hands up in disappointment. But yeah, we have Zero Tool dropping in the new co-op mode, which, you know, I thought Zero Tool was always around, but I guess, you know. So how excited were you are? Speaking of StarCraft professional scene, a white dude, the first time in 20 years, one in the I think the first instance of where people were like, yeah, a white dude needs to win. Yeah, but it was there. Yeah, it was a scene that's dominated by Koreans. Finally, that was interesting. I had a friend texting me updates, and she was like, just in it. She was at the stadium, and she was like, it was crazy. And now you can also gain war chest from watching people do it on Twitch. But let's talk about Hearthstone. You know, before we even start into what this is eventually going to talk about, I want to say I really did enjoy the game. Me and Malika had a great game playing with the expansion. It was super fun. It was great. But
Iffy, that was the longest game of Hearthstone I've ever played in my life. It was so back and forth.
Yeah, that was what was so crazy. It was long, and it felt like at any moment you or me were going to win. It just kept going back. It was real fun. They had these two cards that we both had. We both had one card. It was two in total. That would have this feature called Shrine, in which if you killed it, it would just come back in three turns.
Right, exactly.
But they all had a super dope effect. Her card had its attack was however much armor she had. And my card had a plus one spell damage for every spell in my hand. So her card was filled with armor up cards, and my deck was filled with spells. And so it was just this back and forth where, like, this big scary guy would come because she was armored up, and then I would have to, but he still had the same health.
Right.
So I would just need to do 8 damage to knock him out.
Right.
And then it's me trying to build up and prepare for this guy to come back, and she was just getting her armor up. It was real fun. I'm real excited for this expansion. The announcement, however. So let's talk about trolls as a whole. Trolls are, you know, they're a race that comes from the Warcraft universe, have been in WoW. One of the best designs on the Horde, I will say. But a lot of their design borrow kind of Aztec designs, and their voice borrows a Jamaican accent. So they're these Jamaican, semi-Aztec characters, and it never seemed like an issue. Like, me speaking from my, you know, point of view and perspective back in, like, you know, early 2000s, 2006 and such, when they first dropped. And then I feel like, you know, now we're in a time where it's different.
Things
are different. And, you know, he was I feel like Blizzard is in a weird position, and I don't have a solution for them right now, where they have these trolls and they have this race that talks like Jamaicans. And, like, if someone was to be talking like a troll in a Blizzard setting like BlizzCon, you'd be like, oh, they're just talking like a troll. But if they were talking like a troll in a normal setting where no one's aware of Blizzard properties, they'd be like, why is this white dude doing a Jamaican accent? I will even go further to say that there are white Jamaicans with full-on Jamaican accents, but that's very nuanced, very different. This brings us.
Well, also, I don't know if you felt this way at the opening ceremony, but when they were doing the Hearthstone announcement, I felt super awkward because he also, like, shot it over to the new trailer with a Jamaican accent.
Yeah.
And then he also talked about how they are a proud people. And it was so weird.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because it's like, and this is one of those things where I feel like it is going to be a thing that, like, probably went over anyone who's not a person of color's head. I will say I do disagree. I was in the BuzzFeed Slack because I was out of office, but obviously because I'm a great coworker. For the coworkers who couldn't watch the opening ceremony, I was feeding them info. Mm-hmm. And one of the coworkers who were dope and bought virtual tickets were also kind of helping me out with that. And one was like, I am not feeling this. I'm not. Because it's a weird thing where, like, I want to defend it because I know context-wise what you're doing, but I don't want to take anyone's agency to say, like, I don't like this.
Right. And then also, you mentioned that when they made that announcement, like, nobody laughed.
Yeah, I felt like no one...
Like a joke?
Yeah, I felt like no one knew what to do, because it was supposed to be, like, exciting because it was a troll culture. We're like, where are we going, Mon? But it's like... It just seems like this white dude doing a Jamaican accent. And even like in the Battle for Azeroth, you see the troll like Jamaicanism stuff kind of toned down. So to see it like flip back to this in the Hearthstone, it is kind of like, whoa. I feel like, here's the thing. These discussions need to happen, whether we agree or not. And I by agree, I mean me, other blacks and Jamaicans. I want to put that down so hard. I'm so tired of watching white people on Twitter try and explain to people of color why something isn't racism. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to try and keep it as short as possible because we're running on time. But you cannot. And for some people, I get where you're coming from. I know you're trying to be like, this is why from the cut, but you cannot do it. You would not be able to fathom. Like, I would never be able to explain to a woman why something isn't sexist, because I've never in my life, nor will I ever know what that feels like. I can know something like it. Like, there was a comment made in one of the last BuzzFeed videos that was in that a woman jokingly was like, I like seeing men struggle. And the comments were filled with trolls being like, oh, this is so sexist because if a man would have said it. And I was like, well, if a man would have said it and it was, if we were able to do that easy of an equation, then sexism wouldn't exist. That's why things are different. That's why, you know, it's like people just want to remove the nuance of things and make it equal when things aren't equal to begin with. And that's why you can't have these discussions as a thing of like, well, if X did it, this would be fine. Or if X did this, this would be fine. If we can just take a big step back and talk about Apu, and people off want to talk Groundskeeper Willie, and he's not talking about, well, what about Groundskeeper Willie? It was like, well, you know, you could probably go on TV and find hundreds of different portrayals of Scottish people. And out of that, you will have good portrayals. And there would be enough to surmise that this character is a joke. But when you have one South Asian perception of someone, and that becomes the baseline, that becomes the barometer for people of what South Asian / Indian people are like, that's when it's a problem, when you are using stereotypes, because that is Apu, whether people want to admit it or not, or is the only Indian person that some people know. Yeah. There are some people who have never met an Indian person in their life, and they're only information on what they're like, and they through the show, I will admit, they probably learned some good stuff. They probably learned like information about his religion, like there's stuff that the show does right. But that accent and the fact that, like, you know, you have someone like Hari Kondabolu who can go around and find all these other Indian people who said they've been called Apu in a disparaging way, you have to take a seat and stop being like, oh, because I'm not racist with it, then everything's fine. And because that's a bad way to look at it. Because one, if you really had empathy and compassion, you wouldn't just be using yourself as the barometer of if something's bad and how something makes you feel, especially when you're not the one affected. Ooh, this went from a BlizzCon talk to a talk about, that's usually how all our episodes go. At this point, me restating it is like, it's like, whatever. but yeah, RastaCon, I think that, and that was the cherry on top, is RastaCon. Other name, we probably wouldn't even be having this combo. But I think it's one of those things where it is like, almost in the sense of like, to take it back, where it's something that seems funny, but it's just in the, just not enough. There's not enough other representation to get away with this stuff. And I think that's just general, in general, what the barometer is there enough other representation to where, like, you can look at this and be like, oh, this is goofy, but at least we can see this dope version of the representation here now.
And it's such a bummer too, because I can definitely separate this issue and the gameplay. And the gameplay was so good. I had a great time playing with you, Iffy. I loved my deck. I would love to play the same game, but switch our decks and see how that would play out. Yeah. It was such a good, well-balanced game.
Yeah. I mean, and that's in the, but the fun thing about this and it being a card thing is it is something that can be just toned down and changed. And, you know, it's literally just, you know, if we go in and the voice lines aren't insane, you know, like, you know, Bob Marley quotes all over the place, and then it's like, then it's cool. No harm, no foul. But this, I do think, and people will be like, oh, we're more sensitive. And I don't think I genuinely think, and take it from me, the guy who gets paid to tell jokes, who sometimes there have been some jokes that I've had to cut out because, you know, if he can't always be woke, you know, no one is being more sensitive. We're just finally in a time where everyone can be heard for better or for worse. and so I think, and even discussions like these, are we saying that they should cancel this expansion? No. Are we saying that this needs to be deleted? No. I think all we're saying is it's something to think about and something going forward that we can kind of be more conscious of. And I think that's kind of what Hari was doing, is something to think about and something to be more conscious going forward. And don't take it as an opportunity to defend yourself, because there's nothing really to defend. You don't have to defend yourself. We'd just like you to go forward and be more conscious. But keep making these dope packs, because god dang it if this thing ain't fun. That was BlizzCon, but overall, I think thoughts.
You forgot one game.
Which game did I forget?
You forgot Warcraft 3.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Remastered.
Oh, man. What an accidental, but wait, there's more. Yes. This was a game that I actually, glad Naeem reminded me. I was purposely saving it for last.
Oh, okay.
Because, but I did forget.
Oh, okay.
I was saving it for last, and I did forget, as is wont to happen at the end of my ramp. This was one of the best moments for me, because not only was it something that I feel is a long time coming, but I called it the night before. Jeff Kenyatta was like, what do you think they're going to announce? And I was just going like down the list, and I was like, I think we're going to get a Warcraft 3 remaster, because it's about that time, because we just had that Starcraft re-release. And I was like, so it's about that time. So when that happened, I not only was I hyped, but I was feeling that vindicated of like calling something, but also kicking myself in the butt, because I was like, I should have tweeted it, because I would have been that would have been dope. That's every time you like privately call something, you're like, should have tweeted it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting a Warcraft 3 Reforge, and you're going to experience the beloved real-time strategy game like never before. New art, new updated models, and it looks good.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Looks really
good. I think all three of us had the chance to play it, and the demo we got to play was the Culling of Strathalhorn, which is a big moment in the Warcraft universe. It is what turns Arthas into the Lich King. It is the first steps into that, and it kind of closes off with that kind of moment with him and Mal'Ganis, and it was like, oh man, I remember playing this in the raid. It's crazy to actually play the RTS version, because I had 3 and Frozen Throne, but I never played the game because I was playing Zedota. Not being good at it, just playing it. So I'm very curious if people are going to take the 3 remaster and make Dota again, make Dota classic. Everything's getting classic versions.
I can see that happening. Yeah. I just had to get used to that point and click way of playing again.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't played that in a long time.
Well, maybe you should pick up some MOBAs.
You're probably right. But after just getting used to the controls again, it just felt like I was playing like a teenager again.
Yeah.
It was so smooth. There's a lot more work that they're going to do to it, obviously. But I love the experience, and to experience that big moment again with Arthas and him going down the pathway of darkness, which him eventually becoming a Lich King, it was really cool. And I'm looking forward to playing that game. So,
definitely. Yeah. It was a fun and interesting level for them to have you play, because it's kind of like a dark level, because the concept of the Culling of Strathahorm is this was during Warcraft 3, where there was a plague going around turning people into these beasts, and Arthas says that everyone in this town is infected, and the only way to deal with them is to kill these innocent people. And Jaina is like, you know, bae at the time, and, you know, Uther both turn their backs on him and leave because they don't want to do it. And he's going down that righteous but evil path of like, I got to do what's right. And so you're going against the demon and trying to kill the innocent people before he can turn them into demons. Mm. And it was a fun mechanic. Like, you get to kill him, but he would always come back like 2 minutes later, but that would give you a chance to kill freely.
Yeah, you are the Purge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was great. It was so interesting to see that again for someone, especially as someone who like played the Lich King, like Wrath of the Lich King, and went through. I was running Strathahorm a few times because I'm trying to get that mount. Still don't have it.
Oh, I don't know. Does it still drop?
It still drops. Okay. But it's like a 1%
drop. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I tried it during vanilla, and I would go there.
Oh my gosh.
Every 30 minutes.
Oh, no, let's take a quick vanilla break to talk about the BS, which I can't wait for these vanilla classic heads to try. So you would roll for stuff.
Oh, I want to get into this. Okay, go ahead.
Roll for stuff, but the way you would do it is whoever is the designated raid leader would get the item. Mm-hmm. And then they would have you use the in-game macro to roll, and whoever got the highest did it. But if you were pugging a guild raid, you were oftentimes going to get screwed because what would happen is you would roll, and they'd be like, oh, Buff D's one? Well, Eric's actually in our clan, so we're going to give it to him. And you're like, wait, what?
It was like, politics
it's
going
like,
on
oh my gosh. It was one of those things where I wanted to ghost dad someone. Can I still say ghost dad people? Ghost dad is that scene in Ghost Dad when Bill Cosby would go through the phone and choke the dude. But I don't know if I can ghost dad people anymore. We need a ghost dad reboot is what I'm trying to say.
But yeah, when I was really into serious raiding, I would... There will be points that you can't do. It's still around nowadays, but back then when you wanted to get into a serious raiding guild, you have to actually apply like a job.
Yeah.
You have to go to the forums and apply, like you have the character you want to be your main. Like you say, you're a healer. You got to apply with that character. I had a holy paladin, and I'd apply. I did this several times. I'd go to the forum, and if the guild that I wanted to be in wasn't on the server, I would look on other servers, and I had to pay $25 per character to transfer to a server. That still exists, yeah. But it was such a big deal, and people will actually interview you on Vent or TeamSpeak, and if you pass it, cool. Then you have to pay to get transferred over, and sometimes you're not even fully into the raiding guild. Sometimes you have to wait outside to be able to get a spot, possibly. You have to like earn your keep. Then some guilds, like the ones I was in, they had a system called DKP. I forgot what it stands for. Dragon something. Dragon kill points. where?
Dan was aware.
Yeah, dragon kill points, if you don't know what it is. It's basically you would earn points every time you would raid with your guild. And you would use these points to cash in to buy whatever drops. And back then, everyone didn't get a drop like they do now.
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah. If you wanted a tier item, one tier item would drop per class, usually. Or basically, you would have to fight for one tier item against 7 other people in a 40-man raid group.
And oh, I had a player follow me one time. That item's not for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's better suited to my character. People were vicious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's a lot of politics going on back then. So I'm pretty sure that's going to come back at some point when this class... And then people were like, oh, I don't know if this was... I mean, look, WoW Classic had some great things going on with it. And it introduced a lot of people like myself into MMOs. But it also had issues, which WoW nowadays, for the most part, we don't have to deal with now.
Yeah, because it does all that for you, and it keeps cheaty, scummy people from getting their hands on your gear just to give it to their lobby friend who didn't even do nothing during the raid. He was playing DPS. I'm the one off tanking, so you need to give me the off. Why are you gearing him up? Nah, you better run that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was like so relieved when I got to the point where I just transmog things. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I look real cool right now.
Yeah.
My night elf boomkin. But yeah, people were like cutthroat. And you were saying it's like applying for a mm-hmm. job. Mm-hmm. People also treated it mm-hmm. like a job. Oh, you yeah. know, when you clock in on time yep. so that you get paid and stuff. Yeah, people would show up. And it's so incredible because these people are from like around the world.
Yeah.
You know, complete strangers. And they are showing up at the same time so we can take down this, you know,
but that was cool though. It was it made that community. If you were in like a serious raiding guild that strived on community, and you built like a bond with it, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still around nowadays, but not as prevalent to how it was before. Like people will rally around to get like certain things to help some friend out that is needing of gear or whatever. If you were yeah. in that nice guild.
Yeah, but I would say it is still around. And I think that's a good jumping off point to kind of give my closing thoughts on BlizzCon. Because, you know, I really did get back in a while, but I've always been playing one Blizzard property or the other. And one thing that I think really made me enjoy BlizzCon was seeing all these guildies meet each other for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you saw the one that we had to take a picture of right in front of Sylvanas.
That was a guild?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. actually.
So there was all these guilds meeting up and like just like experiencing this company that has brought them together. And I was like, yeah, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And I really do enjoy the community that Blizzard tries to build mm-hmm. and continues to build. And I'm really excited for not only next year's con, and hopefully we'll be seeing each other in the same place. Probably not the same time. It's in the future. Time's different that way. But, you know.
Can I add one epiphany as I was walking around BlizzCon for the first time?
Of course, you can add one epiphany.
I had this little epiphany. It was huge for me. I realized if I ran down this hall and said, people would know what that means.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I felt like, damn, I have come home.
Well, how about you tell people where you can find you?
I am at @hello_Malika on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Vicious Fool at on Instagram and Twitter.
Hey, and people can catch y'all on the Hyper RPG Twitch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That is our home.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot to say we pretty much work there.
Yeah. I helped co-found the place.
Yeah.
And by the way,
you know, I show up there from time to time and on my Twitch, IfDs, as y'all all know. And IfyWadiWay on Twitter and Instagram, IfyNWADIWE. I'm spelling it now ever since that one person said they were spelling my name like Iffy with two Fs, Whiteyway. So I'm going to help you out. You know, I get how they might have got that trying to spell it out. Oh, man. But yeah, no, this was a good time, and you know, definitely tune in tomorrow for your regularly scheduled Nerdificent, where we will be dropping an episode about Street Fighter. It's long and convoluted and fun all around, but it's a good time. Thanks for popping by and listening to us ramble about Blizzard, and as always, stay nerdy.